are living in urgent times. If you are living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's August 25th. Can you believe it? 2025. It's a gorgeous day in Philadelphia. The sun is shining. It's not really hot. The humidity's low. It's just a beautiful, beautiful day. And as usual, it's wonderful to be with you today. And let us begin in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we offer this program up to you. We pray through the intercession of your loving Mother Mary that you bless all those who listen. We pray for your holy and divine will to be done today in all of our lives. We pray for all the intentions called in or emailed to this ministry today and throughout the following days and past few days. We pray for world peace, Lord Jesus, world peace on every continent. We pray that Our Lady will intervene before God the Father. And we pray there would be world peace. Jesus, we pray for a new school year for all the children. We thank you and praise you for that, Lord Jesus. We pray for that new school year for the children who have already started today or those who are starting next year or next week, rather. And my husband just came in and told me that it is not being aired over the radio. So I don't know what's going on, Frank. If you can take care of that, he's saying it's not being aired over WTMR. Okay, so Lord Jesus, we pray for all the kids going back to school and all the parents and grandparents and the teachers and the administrators that this is a powerful new school year for all those who are listening and all those who are being homeschooled as well. That is a beautiful and powerful year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had a whole program planned today. And I want to start the program really with a very powerful quote from St. Augustine. St. Augustine once said, if we pray well, we will live well. We will die well. And if we die well, all will be well. It's very important to know how to pray well, isn't it, my friends? So today I learned about a dear friend of mine and of the ministry of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, who passed away at 7:30 this morning, and that's Jimmy Murray. I did many radio programs with him for many, many years, including on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and many conferences I gave with him and participate with him. But in praying about the program, it took a little bit of a shift. And after praying and saying, okay, St. Augustine, if we pray well, we'll live well, we will die well, and if we die well, all will be well. I thought, I can't think of a better example of this than Jimmy Murray. Many of you know Jimmy in the Philadelphia region and probably in the tri-state region, but if you're listening from around the world, you will recognize his credentials. He is the former GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was with under Leonard Tose, and the coach was Dick Vermeil, and they went to the Super Bowl. He was the youngest GM ever chosen, and I know there's a powerful story behind that. Also, he's the founder, and this is where, if you're listening from around the world, the founder of the Ronald McDonald Houses. He traveled all over the world helping to set these up, and children and families to this day are being helped that are suffering disabilities and serious illnesses and surgeries, and they're being helped through the Ronald McDonald Houses and the Eagles Fly for Leukemia and so much more he was involved in. I can't even begin to describe all the activities that he was involved in throughout his life. He was 87 years old, and he passed away this morning, and I'm heartbroken because I just have so many fond memories, but I surely know where he is because his love for the Lord was palpable. His love for the Lord, no matter where he traveled around the world or around the U.S., he liked to have his wife drive him or his assistant Carol or family members drive him to different cities for the setup of the Ronald McDonald houses, he would find a mass. No matter where he went, he would find a mass that day. He never missed mass. This man had such a love for the Holy Eucharist and a special love of the Blessed Mother. It's something that he passed his beautiful modeling of how to live on to his family, his grandchildren, and all who met him. My personal experience with Jimmy was through setting up a national hospice foundation for those who were hurting. And I asked Jimmy, who was a friend way before this, said, Jimmy, I did at that time for a for-profit hospice administration, and I was in the executive management of this hospice. And I knew families were so grateful for the care of the hospice nurses and team that they sometimes would have a memory of, and they would send checks to the hospice. But it was a for-profit hospice, so the for-profit hospice could not accept the checks, of course. So I asked the owners of the hospice if I could set up a foundation, and they were based out of Chicago, and they said, of course. So I called Jimmy. And I said, I want to call it the National Compassionate Hospice Foundation. And this is what I would like to do. And he said, I'm with you. I'm right with you. And after many meetings, one of the first cases, and I will never, ever forget this, was after the foundation was formed on Christmas Eve, a nurse in the tri-state region of Philadelphia was suffering terminally from breast cancer. And because she was the most important breadwinner in her house, they were about to lose their home because she couldn't help to pay the mortgage. And this came to the attention of one of our social workers at the time. And the social worker brought it to me. And I said, I called Jimmy up. I said, Jimmy, this is our first case, our first test run with the Hospice Foundation. We need to do this. And he said, go. So the social worker and nurse arrived in the snow on Christmas Eve and delivered a check to the husband of the young mother, who she was young with all the children, who was dying of breast cancer. And then we contacted the landlord, or the mortgage company rather, and said, we had the check to pay off the mortgage for this young nurse. I think it was one of the best Christmases I ever remember. And I do remember Jimmy saying, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club, because this is what life is all about. And I knew then that the Lord wanted me to be involved in this level of charity. But he was the mentor. He taught me. He personally taught me. There was another example where Jimmy told me this. I wasn't involved in this, but he met someone on the New Jersey Turnpike who needed money, I believe, to buy a refrigerator. Now, this is the level that we had set up the Hospice Foundation. So someone's washer would go, the refrigerator, the car couldn't get repaired. Jimmy met this person at a rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike, took cash out of his own pocket, not out of the foundation, and gave it to this person at the rest stop so they could buy a new refrigerator. Now, think of it. This is the type of man that he was. And this is only a small fraction of what he did in so many lives. I also remember, and I shared this on my Facebook page, both of us were called to be special speakers at a conference in San Antonio, Texas, at the San Antonio Civic Center, and there were several thousand people. And Father Pablo Straub, who really wasn't very well known at that time, was there also, and the bishop. And I went on and gave my speech, and then Jimmy was next. So Father Pablo was behind the curtain on the stage, and I said, Jimmy, you cannot go on that stage until you go to confession to Father Pablo Straub, because he reads hearts. And Jimmy His eyes bulged, and he said, "What?" I said, "He reads hearts. He'll get you all ready for your talk." So he listened to me. I pulled Father Pablo and his robe over behind the stage curtain and said, "Father Pablo, Jimmy Murray needs to have his confession heard." And Jimmy cracked up laughing, and Father Pablo laughed, and Jimmy had his confession heard by Father Pablo Straub behind a curtain on the stage at the San Antonio Civic Center. And then he came on stage, Jimmy came on stage, and told the story of how I made him go to confession. Well, the end of the story is that Jimmy was very close to James Michener. Now, those of you who love to read, you know the books of James Michener from Bucks County. Jimmy was very, very close to James Michener. And he was talking to James Michener on the phone. And then he went to the airport. And lo and behold, guess who was right there next to him in the line at the airport? Father Pablo Straub. And again, Jimmy said, I can't get on that plane. Ann will make me go to confession again. So Father Pablo, this is maybe 3 days after his talk at the San Antonio Civic Center. Father Pablo heard his confession at the airport. So it became a standing joke between us that Jimmy couldn't do anything, nor could I, unless we went to confession and we were in a state of grace, which really, actually, this is probably 20-some years ago, 30-some years ago. And I'm laughing because that became the template for at least my life in giving talks or retreats or praying with people, that it was very important for me to go to confession, to clear out the drain pipes and to be open to God's grace. But Jimmy Murray, he was open to God's grace every step of the way, every step of the way. And I love to share the story. We were both very close friends of Bishop Joseph Galante, who was a bishop here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And Jimmy and his wife and family had a home on the beach in Sea Isle City, New Jersey. And every summer, Jimmy would have Bishop Galante celebrate Mass in his home on the beach at Sea Isle City. And we were all invited, and Diane would cook. But I remember the very first time I walked in to, it was a duplex, and upstairs, it was this gigantic blue marlin. When I say gigantic, I don't know anything about marlins. It covered most of the wall. And I remember looking at it like, what is that thing? And Jimmy said, I caught that. You caught that? Well, I'm not really a fisherman, but I think if I remember correctly, he said he was with Leonard Tose and Associates, and they were deep sea fishing. And I believe if I had Jimmy's sons on the air with me, we would share. I think it was in Mexico, but that fish was gigantic, and I would like to know whatever happened to that fish, because I'm 5'10", so it had to be over 6 foot. So we laughed, and he said, you know, called me a city girl because I didn't know what a marlin was, and we laughed. And so many powerful memories of being there, and Diane, his wife, he called his beautiful blonde from Malibu, and just amazing memories of prayer, laughing, everybody, and his brother would be stopping at his beach house, from Eagles players to administration to friends to Ronald McDonald House. It was an ongoing party at that house all the time. But that's how Jimmy ran his life. One never knew what would happen 1 minute to the next. I was sharing with my husband earlier, and he remembered that Jimmy always had Diane or Carol or one of his children or friends drive him to many cities across the United States because he didn't like to fly. He had Meniere's disease, so he didn't like to fly, and people were always driving him everywhere. And he didn't mind, and the people didn't mind, because he was so much fun and so prayerful, and he would always pull out his rosaries, and then you would be in a city with him, and as a new Ronald McDonald House would be opening up. But here's the story of stories that I remember today, because I was trying to remember all the stories. My favorite is when he met Pope John Paul II. Now, this is a story. Those of you who are listening from Philadelphia or New Jersey, you remember the fish sticks, Ed Pizak and the fish sticks? Well, Ed Pizak invited him to the Vatican to meet John Paul II. Well, Jimmy didn't like to fly, but he went, and they were having breakfast with the Holy Father, John Paul II. Now, Jimmy, I don't know what happened, but he told a joke at breakfast with Pope John Paul II and Ed Pizak, and I think there was someone from Poland. I can't remember at the moment. I may remember by the end of the program. And he was telling a joke. Well, John Paul II thought it was the funniest thing and moved him up on the table, and they were telling jokes, and Pope John Paul II loved him dearly. But of course, when John Paul II visited Philadelphia, Jimmy was holding his son, named after John Paul, and he was a baby, and many of you may remember the picture of Jimmy Murray holding up his son, John Paul, and John Paul II stopping the limo and blessing him. So there are so many stories, so many stories, and he loved radio. He just loved radio. I had the great honor of being with him and hosting him so many times over 20, 30 years on different radio programs. But the last radio program I did with him was in his signed Catholic radio network after he had written his book, Life is an Audible. And Steve McWilliams wrote it with him, and an introduction by Dick Vermeil. And I kept wanting to promote it, and he kept flashing his hand across like, no, I don't want you to do that, Anne. Don't do that. Because he was so humble. But what an incredible book. I pray that those of you who are listening will try to find it. It's probably on Amazon. I'm not sure. It's called Life is an Audible, the Jimmy Murray story. And there are chapters by Dick Vermeil, Ray Dittinger, and so many. You have to read it. I need to pick it up. I read it in 2019. I need to read it again. But I wanted to read some portions of the book to you because I know spiritually this will touch many, many hearts today. I can't imagine the heartache of his family today. I will contact them tomorrow, but I can't today because it's a shock to all of us. So in his book, in the preface, he wrote, on the surface, things in our lives don't always feel connected. Isn't that a powerful line? Yet in the great mosaic of God's plan, we are all painters. All of us get to put the brush to the canvas of our life. You and I may not be Michelangelo, but while we're painting, we often don't have a clue about what we're doing. God helps us paint. If you trust, if you listen, you'll paint the portrait of what God wants in your life. Now, isn't that powerful? This is a true story of how I, Jimmy Murray, allowed God to help me paint. And the biggest part of my painting is the Ronald McDonald House. I'm the most unlikely candidate to begin such a magnificent story. I wasn't born with extraordinary gifts, but one day, God tapped me on the shoulder and spoke to me through a total stranger. From that day forward, I painted. And today, I still paint. Because the painting doesn't stop until the day God calls me home. And today is the day that he stopped painting on earth. But I know he's painting some beautiful things in heaven. Beautiful things because of his relationship, his personal relationship with Jesus Christ and Our Lady. It was so strong, my friends, so strong. Now, I want to also share a very profound chapter also in his book, which I think will touch many hearts, because a lot of this we've talked about over the years on the air, on radio. But I love this chapter. It's called, What's It All About, Alfie? Remember that song, What's It All About, Alfie? I think it was Dionne Warwick who sang it. So he wrote, and this is prophetic, and that's why I'm reading it. I'm closing this effort to catalog my life. Now, remember, we've talked about cataloging our lives, examining our conscience, going through our life and putting a catalog to it. Well, he wrote it. I'm closing this effort to catalog my life. I've tried very hard to capture and share some of the events that occurred throughout my privileged life in sports. Now, most people only dream of landing a job with a professional sports team. I landed several, every one of them by accident. It's difficult to look back on 80 plus years, it's 87 today, and capture the memories completely, much harder than we imagined. Oh, I did my best recalling some of the very best things that happened in my life. Life is funny. Just when I seem to be getting a handle on things, I wake up in the mornings and I've become an old-timer reminiscing about days gone by. I didn't think that would happen to me. Writing this book was a difficult exercise for me for many reasons. First, I'm a storyteller. I've been telling thousands of stories at thousands of banquets for the last 50-plus years. What should I include? What should I leave out? Do I talk about this? Do I talk about that? What's worthy of the reader's time and interest? Within my mind, I debated and I argued. I've met thousands of fascinating people, and I've been influenced by so many great people that I'm afraid to slight anyone by a careless omission. So let me deal with that right now. For all of you, and I'm going to include this tagline, for all of you who are listening, who may have forgotten, Jimmy said he's sorry. He apologizes, and he means it. I'm sorry. I know I left some important people out. I know there are some great stories that I just plain forgot. Please let me off the hook. Throughout my entire life, and this is from Jimmy Murray's book, who passed away today at the age of 87, and the book is called Life is an Audible, the Jimmy Murray Story. Throughout my life, I often had the feeling that I was watching myself from the stands. Much of my life I recall as an out-of-body experience, and as I look on, I'm in every part of every story, and every story is fun and exciting. Even the bad moments weren't so bad when I look back. I've been blessed to see the world from multiple vantage points. When I was starting out, I saw the world from the eyes of an average, listen to this, to below average student. Next to Villanova, I looked at the world as the eager baseball manager and then the effervescent sports information director. Then I stumbled into minor league baseball. And ultimately, I got to my dream job, general manager of an NFL franchise, the Philadelphia Eagles. Still, that wasn't the end of the road. And finally, I become the dedicated servant to the idea of the Ronald McDonald House. There were lots of steps along the way, and a bird's eye view of life's highs and lows. All in all, I've been given the great gift of perspective, and my Irish nature makes me sit back and take notice of the importance of the small things that we either miss or take for granted. In my quiet moments, I reflect on extraordinary growing from the ordinary. Extraordinary growing from the ordinary. Take professional football, for example. On the surface, it's a silly kid game, isn't it? Further analysis reveals that football is life itself. On any given Sunday in America, football affects millions of people in hundreds of ways. The players put their physical well-being on the line every time they step on the field. A player can be severely injured and loses livelihood in a split second. Coaches also live moment to moment, and their futures hang in the balance of the game being played. fans who have every conceivable human problem push those problems aside for a couple hours and live for the outcome of every play and every game. A billion-dollar industry evolved from moving a funny-shaped ball over 100 yards. And when you think about it, it's a little insane that every Sunday from September to the Super Bowl, millions of Americans live with their favorite team. Companies can measure profit or loss from the outcome of a football game. Productivity in a typical enterprise can swing up or down from the single act of a 150-pound kicker winning a game in the last second of overtime. Jimmy Murray said, "I got to see it all. I was there for the explosion." Football emerged from baseball's shadow to dominate the culture as our national pastime. I watched how it was put together. The planning, the mechanisms of success developed by Pete Rozelle, and continue today. It's no small children's game. What it is a textbook on organizing people from all walks of life and moving that organization to where? Who knows? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger until what? People tire of men running into one another. We find something that better entertains us, really? The medical community persuades the nation that the game is just too dangerous to support. One thing is definite. Football is big business. It will continue as big business until, for some unforeseen reason, it's no longer good business. Now, Jimmy wrote, "What has fascinated me throughout my journey in sports is the human element in all of it. Power plays, jealousy, good guys, bad guys. That was my job in sports, to navigate the difficult terrain of human behavior within sports organizations. And at each stop along the way," he wrote, "my talent was keeping everyone together, hopefully moving toward for the better. I was the Pope in charge of shepherding all the collective interests and keeping fragile coalitions together for everyone's benefit. The net result of a general manager's work can be seen in countless ways. The fan in the stand, who is your real boss, cheers when his team wins, and he and his kids cry if the team loses. I was the altar boy, the cheerleader, the hostage negotiator, who at each stage tried to get all the pieces together so that family on Sunday left the stadium smiling. It was a complete and complex task. But in the end, all that we're looking for is joy. If you think about it, all that we want as humans is a few moments of joy. And when we're all pulling this, and we're all pulling the oars together in one motion, we get joy." After the break, my friends, we will continue with the legacy of Jimmy Murray, who passed away this morning, with some spiritual tidbits that they left behind for all of us. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry. To be a voice for those who have no voice. To evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network. Today, we are talking about Jimmy Murray, former GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, founder of the Ronald McDonald House, and Eagles Fly for Leukemia, and so many other organizations who passed away this morning at 7:30 a.m., and as a friend and cohort and colleague, I want to spend this time sharing some of his memories and my memories because they're all spiritually impactful. And a lot of this is from his book called Life Isn't Audible, The Jimmy Murray Story, which I'm sure you can buy. It was published in 2019. And Jimmy did his last rodeo, well, my last rodeo program with him was on this book. And I drove him home, and he was pretty sick. He came into the studio, and he wasn't well enough. I picked him up and brought him in the studio, and he did it no matter what. And I dropped him off at his house, and we hugged and said goodbye. And that was the last time I actually saw him. I had just spoken to him a few months ago, and he was bedbound. So we are so blessed to have known him here, especially in the Philadelphia market. And he was so impactful in so many ways. And I know the news networks tonight will be beginning to share some of the stories, or even tomorrow, about Jimmy's life. And I just can't imagine the thousands and thousands of people that have been touched by Jimmy. But there is a chapter in his book that I want to share with you because it's very, very special. And he said, there are so many beautiful stories about the Ronald McDonald House and not enough paper or time to tell them. But my statistic as a sports guy is always one. One child, one family, one community responding. Through the litany of saints involved is lengthy. I'm smiling right now, just thinking about the saints I've known and walked with. No one goes through life undefeated. And I have no end to the stories of how people react to the ultimate adversity. When one of us gets that word that ourselves or someone we love is going to die, it's a Joe Frazier knockout punch. A good friend of mine, Father Don Burt, counseled me once saying, quote, sometimes there's nothing more that can be done. And you're left with only faith. You hope there is a God, and you hope he loves you enough to allow you to cope with your loved one or your own illness. Can you imagine? And he said, though we're all going to die someday, the death of a child is something that we can never reconcile. Never, ever reconcile. And he wrote extensively about his work with the Ronald McDonald Houses in this book, Life Isn't Audible. And I need to reread it. It is chock full of stories and magnificent things that need to be shared. And I hope the networks, when they cover him, will use some of these stories because they're right from his heart, right from his heart. So I wanted to share with you some other stories about Jimmy. Everybody thought Jimmy Murray, when he ran the golf outings down at DuPont Country Club was a wealthy man. He was not a wealthy man. He gave everything away. He gave everything away. He gave his home in Sea Isle. He shared it with people who couldn't afford vacations. He shared every aspect of his life. He didn't keep any wealth. He didn't keep anything. So he was not a wealthy man. And so when he ran those pro golf outings at DuPont Country Club, his company, Trinity, ran them, he's not a wealthy man. He shared everything with everyone, including myself. Now, his spirituality was such that he had a dear friend, Bishop Joseph Galante. They talked football and sports and prayer and spirituality. And Bishop Galante loved him dearly and loved Diane and the family. And he was a spiritual mentor for me as well. But I learned so much from Jimmy. You know, one of the things, and this drives my children crazy, Jimmy, if he would be in a taxi or an elevator or at a restaurant, he would start a conversation and say, oh, if he's in the taxi, where are you from? How long have you been driving this taxi? And he would always, what's your wife's name? Or do you have children? He would always personalize a very cold moment. Or if he's in a restaurant, he would take up with a waitress or someone and say, tell the cook they did a great job. And so, and then they would always say, God bless you. And I remember starting this and my children would say, why do you have to talk to everybody? You know, God bless you. Thank you. Have a blessed day. He always wanted to know a little more about the taxi driver or the person in the elevator or the child that was in the Ronald McDonald House or some stranger on the street. Or the person that was dying in the hospice that, believe it or not, my friends, there are people who are dying who earn the income for their family and they can't afford the mortgage. They can't afford the rent. Their refrigerator may go. They can't pay the electric bill. See, look up some of these foundations and perhaps you can get involved because God is about a mighty work. Or perhaps you can ask, hey, is your mortgage paid? Do you have your groceries paid for the month? How about your medicine? A lot of these medicines, my friends, that with terminally ill children or adults are not covered by insurance. Not all of them. They're not covered. So Jimmy always reached out. I can't think of the hoagies down Atlantic City. He would always buy these hoagies, White Tower or White Castle. I can't remember. He always loved to stop in Atlantic City and get these hoagies. And he would stop by. And when my oldest daughter was younger, he bought her the cute nightgown that was next door, a pink one that she loved with a princess. And then he bought hoagies for all of us. But he loved, and he bought them for the taxi driver, too. So there are so many stories that I'm sure his children don't even know all the stories. So I just ask if you remember that we all need to live a life of giving. Because as I started in the beginning of the program with the quote from St. Augustine, if we pray well, we will live well. We will die well. And if we die well, all will be well. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jimmy is rejoicing in heaven with all the children who passed from the Ronald McDonald houses, all the family, all the people that he helped along the way, all the parishioners that he helped, and all the people, and he never, ever spoke about helping someone, never. One would never know he was so charitable unless you were traveling with him. You just wouldn't know. You would have no idea. And he would tell the big grandiose stories at the sports banquets, you know, about Leonard Post or Dick Vermeil or meeting the Pope and Pizak, the fish stick man from Philadelphia. He would love to tell those stories. But beneath all that grandiose was this very humble man who really never talked about himself. He would always talk about God's glory. He had more trophies and awards in his basement before he moved You couldn't even walk through the basement. He had so many awards. I just can't imagine. But he didn't care about that stuff. He only cared about the other, the stranger, the person in need. And this is our takeaway today from Jimmy. See, at the end of his book, he wrote, I love this. I'm not the most articulate fellow when it comes to spouting a worldview or a working philosophy, but I have witnessed enough human suffering and compassion to have developed one. If any of us take our time, live long enough, learn the important values from all of the important influences in our lives, chances are that we will get a perspective, an overview, an understanding soul. An understanding soul. He said, Jimmy Murray said, I was a dirty-faced kid from Brooklyn Street without a lot of smarts or fancy degrees, but my training exceeded anything I may have received in school. Loving parents, relatives, teachers, co-workers gave me a leg up on this thing called life. I can't put a number on it, but I'd say I've batted 1,000 when it comes to the best life has to offer. I've met the most extraordinary people in my life, but for the most part, these extraordinary folks were simple and ordinary. The strength and faith of the scores of parents I've known through my Ronald McDonald House experiences have left me humbled and in awe of the power of the human spirit. Back to my philosophy. I've often compared life to the old game pickup sticks. When you move one little thing, all kinds of things can happen, both good and bad. I made one call to an ad agency about some milkshakes, and God led me to the McMiracle. The Ronald McDonald Houses touch more than 20,000 people a night, which translates into more than 7 million a year, and I know it's over 10 now. One family, one mom, one dad, one child provided the strictest attention in time of need. It doesn't make a life-threatening illness any easier, but it makes life better when you know you don't suffer alone. The Ronald McDonald House makes life better and sometimes easier to understand and handle. No, we won't get all of our answers, but remember, everything is connected and everything happens for a reason. I haven't got any answers, but I can tell you in closing that your efforts to make the world better make you better. And as Anne Frank said so succinctly, no one has ever become poor because of giving. Powerful words. No one has ever become what? Poor because of giving. The words from Jimmy Murray, who passed away, if you're just tuning in, passed away this morning at 7:30 a.m. I can't even begin to prepare a program to share his life, the words that he shared at different retreats. He gave youth retreats. He gave so many conferences. He spoke to so many people, groups, so many. I can't even begin to even share half these stories because the family holds most of them close to their hearts. Life isn't audible. Life isn't audible. He used to say that all the time. And he wrote a book called Life as an Audible. It takes you inside the world of professional sports and far beyond by a man who is a natural born storyteller. Now, some Irishmen have the gift of the gab, and one may think that some stories are somewhat tall and that the lad's full of malarkey. So Jimmy, the Pope spots you in a crowd of 1 million holding up your son and came over and blessed the boy, who, by the way, is named John Paul. Then, years later, remembered it when you, James Michener, and others visited him in his private residence at Castel Gandolfo. Are you sure about that? That's what the co-author said to Jimmy. Are you sure? The Pope, John Paul II, remembered you holding up your son, John Paul, in a crowd of over 1 million people, and then you come into his private residence and have breakfast with Michener, Pizak, with John Paul II? The author who was helping Jimmy couldn't believe it. A few days later, Jimmy sends you pictures. So he said, okay, I'll send you pictures. I know Jimmy. He always substantiates what he's talking about. He doesn't exaggerate. He nails it word for word. He sent him pictures. So when he tells you about running a restaurant in Malibu, California, and hanging out with Peter Lawford and the Hollywood crowd, you have to believe the man. Oh, the stories from Malibu. And as a recent Villanova grad heading for a job with the Atlanta Crackers, yep, that's the name for real, he stops by Bill Veeck's house after writing to ask if he can pick the guy's brain. And the famous baseball owner and consummate promoter who sent in Eddie Gaedel as a leadoff hitter who was very small for his Cleveland Indians against Detroit. And of course says, sure, kid. Jimmy then spends hours at his house sharing stories like kindred spirits. Jimmy Murray was a non-stop storyteller, a man of faith with a heart of gold and the integrity to match. A man raised by solid parents who, you will love this story, who dropped him off at the Augustinian Seminary in Staten Island as a young lad, only to have him arrive home after he and his accomplices were literally thrown out of the seminary into the cold after they did a few shenanigans, which he loved to tell the story of being thrown out of the seminary. It left no doubt that the priesthood was not his destiny. Jimmy's path led to Leonard Tose. And the rest is history, isn't it? And that's how we in Philadelphia and the world got to know Jimmy Murray. It's amazing, isn't it? He also told so many stories of managing Michael Jackson. When my grandchildren heard that, they were like, sure, oh, sure. Yeah, Michael Jackson stories. He had Michael Jackson stories. I don't think there is a story that he could tell that people wouldn't be sitting there with their mouths open like, are you serious? Are you serious? He knew everyone. He knew everyone. And he knew he would remember your name, no matter if you were a taxi, a waitress, a rug cleaner, he would remember your name and remember your family's name, or even remember your birthday. He always remembered. You know why he always remembered? Because he cared. He cared. See, this was a man who prayed well. He lived well. And he died well. And if we die well, all will be well. This is a man who really exemplifies connecting in the great mosaic of God's plan that he calls, where we're all painters, Jimmy Murray is a painter, was a painter, and I'm sure he's going to continue to put that brush on the canvas in heaven. He's going to intercede for all of us who are mumbling and jumbling and trying, but our hearts need to be correct with the Lord. I want you to remember this man. I call him a dear friend, but so do thousands of people. Literally, everybody thinks they're a friend of Jimmy Murray because he wanted you to believe that, and nothing less. I can't imagine his funeral. I can't imagine where it will be held. It couldn't be his home church because it's too small. I think he's going to need a stadium for people from the Ronald McDonald Houses worldwide, the former Eagles, present Eagles, the Fly for Leukemia, all the different organizations, his family's networking and connection. It will be, and probably 100 priests, because his love for the priesthood was beyond anything. And I love when you tell the story, oh yeah, I'm real holy. I got thrown out of an Augustinian seminary. And they did something ornery, and he arrived home, and his mother and father were very upset with him, by the way. But he knew the priesthood wasn't his destiny, but boy, did his love for the sacraments was extraordinary. It was extraordinary, my friends. I can't begin to even articulate in words how he has touched my life or in his Sign Catholic Radio Network. How the impact of his laughter, his desire to learn all who would be in front of him, from total strangers to those who were dying, to parents who were losing children in the Ronald McDonald Houses. He knew all their names. So I ask you to pray for the repose of his soul, of course, and for his family, because, again, he passed away this morning at 7:30 a.m. And I just thank you, and thank you for even listening to this radio broadcast, because I pray that we somehow will mimic the love that he had for his church, for the Lord, for the Blessed Mother, and for all those in need. He was a giver. He was a giver. And let us never be mistaken that he wanted you. If he could be on the air today, he would say, we all have a chance. We all have the opportunity to give. We all have that opportunity. And don't ever let it pass you by. Don't ever let a moment pass you by. And as he quoted at the end of his book, from Anne Frank, no one has ever become poor because of giving. Thank you, Jimmy Murray, for all that you've done. So now, my friends, I want to share with you some special words from In the Silence of My Heart, Volume 4, Prophetic Words through Kathleen McCarthy. And these words, by the way, have a nikil apdat and an imprimatur from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I started sharing this at the beginning of the summer, and I felt strongly that the Lord wanted me to continue to share this. So, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready? These are the prophetic words. The storms will come. The winds will blow. The waters will roar. And the thunder will crack the skies. In the midst of all that, know that my peace is in you. Know that my power is at work in my people. Know that the peace that dwells within you can truly dispel your anxiety and your fears. Look to me. Look to me at all times. For did not I tell you that I will never leave you? Did I tell you not to fear? Be not afraid. I have said it time and time again. But yet when the storms come, when the thunder cracks, when the sea rises up, you shake, you quiver, you fear. I want you to know this night. I want you to know that I am Lord over the elements. I want you to know that all is subject to me. This message I have told you time and time again, so that you will not fear, be dismayed, or be anxious. Many have ears and do not hear. They have eyes and they do not see. And yet I send my people with my word at work in them and speak through them, and still their hearts are hardened. And so the sea shall rise, the thunder shall crack, the storms will rage, the winds will blow, and many who put their hope and their trust in power, in might, in the things of this world, I tell you now, it is these that my word goes forth to reach. I have trained your tongue now, have I not, that you may speak with holy boldness, yet with a gentleness and tenderness of love. I have called you to obedience. I have called you to carry the cross that I send into each of your lives and to embrace it, for it is only through the cross that you can be redeemed. I call you to embrace the crosses that I send into your life, for they will draw others to me through you. Surely, they will say, it is the Lord at work in their lives, and surely this peace cannot come from the individual. Surely it is the Lord. Will you be willing to step out and allow me to see and use you in ways that you are even comfortable or uncomfortable in? I will stretch you. I will give you the power and the grace to yield to my words, my authority, my power, my love, and my mercy. Others will look in fear. There's no need to fear. All you need to do is look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Do not worry. Do not fear. Do not be anxious. I am with you, and I will make all things new. I am doing a new thing. Sometimes it's difficult to learn obedience, especially for children. And this is what you are, children of the Most High God. So be patient with yourselves. But just assuredly know that I call you to stand and speak in my name. I'm calling you to be obedient. I'm calling you to rely on me, not on yourself. For what can you do? What effect can you have on the world and on the lives of others, if not for me at work in you? So trust in my life within you and feed on my body and my blood so that you may remain strong, so that you may remain at peace in the midst of the storms. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that you are very special in God's eyes, and that He wants you to remain strong in the midst of the storms, and to be an example as Jimmy Rary was to all of us throughout the world. May God bless you, and may Our Lady please intercede before the throne of our Eternal Father for all of you. God bless you.